Chapter 4. An answer to the two objections which are made by the supporters of the theory of immediate mission. To which of the others was it ever said, I have prayed o'er thee, Peter, that thy faith fail not, and thou being once converted, confirm thy brethren. Luke 22:32. Truly they are two privileges of great importance, these. Our Lord, when about to establish the faith in his church, did not pray for the faith of any of the others in particular, but only of Saint Peter as head. For what could be the object of this prerogative? Satan hath sought you, vo you all, but I have prayed for thee, Peter. Is not this to place him alone as responsible for all, as head and guide of the whole flock? But who sees not how pregnant this passage is for our purpose? Let us consider what proceeds, and we shall find that our Lord had declared to his apostles that there was one of them greater than the others, he who is the greatest among you, and he that is the leader. And immediately our Lord goes on to say to him that the adversary was seeking to sift them, all of them, as wheat, but that still he had prayed for him in particular that his faith should not fail. I pray you, does not this grace which was so peculiar to him, and which was not common to the others, according to Saint Thomas, show that Saint Peter was that one who was greatest among them? All are tempted, and prayer is made for one alone. But the words following render all this quite evident. For some Protestant might say that he prayed for Saint Peter in particular on account of some other reason that might be imagined, for the imagination ever furnishes support enough for obstinacy, not because he was head of the others or because the faith of the others was maintained in their pastor. On the contrary, gentlemen, it is in order that being once converted he might confirm his brethren, he prays for Saint Peter as for the confirmer and support of the others. And what is this but to declare him head of the others? Truly one could not give Saint Peter the command to confirm the apostles without charging him to have care of them. For how could he put this command in practice without paying regard to the weakness or the strength of the others in order to strengthen or confirm them? Is this not to again call him foundation of the church? If he supports, secures, strengthens the very foundation stones, how shall he not confirm all the rest? If he has the charge of supporting the columns of the church, how shall he not support all the rest of the building? If he has the charge of feeding the pastors, must he not be sovereign pastor himself, the gardener who sees the young plant exposed to the continual rays of the sun, and wishes to preserve it from the drought which threatens it, does not pour water on each branch, but having well steeped the root considers that all the rest is safe, because the root continues to distribute the moisture to the rest of the plant. Our Lord also, having planted this holy assembly of the disciples, prayed for the head and the root, in order that the water of faith might not fail to him who was therewith to supply all the rest, and in order that through the head the faith might always be preserved in the church. But I must tell you, before closing this part of my subject, that the denial which Saint Peter made on the day of the Passion must not trouble you here, for he did not lose the faith, but only sinned as to the confession of it. Fear made him disavow that which he believed. He believed right but spoke wrong. Chapter 5. That the invisible church from which the innovators pretend to derive their mission is a figment, and that the true church of Christ is visible. We know that our Lord gave most ample procuration and commission to his apostles to treat with the world concerning its salvation, when he said to them, John 20, As the Father hath sent me, I also send you. Receive ye the Holy Ghost, whose sins you shall forgive, and see. It was the execution of that promise of his which had been made them in general, whatsoever you shall bind, and see. But it was never said to any one of the other apostles in particular, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, nor was it ever said to one of the others, Feed my sheep. John 21:17. Saint Peter alone had this charge. They were equal in the apostolate, but into to the pastoral dignity Saint Peter alone was instituted, Feed my sheep. There are other pastors in the church. Each must feed the flock which is under him, as Saint Peter says, Ep 5:2, or that over which H the Holy Ghost hath placed him bishop, according to Saint Paul, Acts 20:28. But, to which of the others, says Saint Bernard, De Concid. 2:8. Wherever the sheep so absolutely, so universally committed, feed my sheep. And to prove that it is truly Saint Peter to whom these words are addressed, I betake myself to the Holy Word. It is Saint Peter only who is called Simon son of John, or of Jonah, for one is the same as the other, and Jonah is but the short of Joanna. And in order that we may know that this Simon son of John is really Saint Peter, Saint John bears witness that it was Simon Peter Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me more than these? It is then Saint Peter to whom in particular our Lord says, feed my sheep. And our Lord puts Saint Peter apart from the others in that place where he compares him with them. Lovest thou me? There is Saint Peter on the one side more than these, there are the apostles on the other. And although all the apostles were not present, yet the principal ones were, Saint James, Saint John, Saint Thomas and others. It is only Saint Peter who is grieved, it is only Saint Peter whose death is foretold. What room is there then for doubting that it was to him alone that this word feed my sheep is addressed, a word which is united to all these others? Now that to feed the sheep includes the charge of them, appears clearly. For what is it to have the charge of feeding the sheep, but to be pastor and shepherd? And shepherds have full charge of the sheep, and not only lead them to pasture, but bring them back, fold them, guide them, rule them, keep them in fear, chastise them and guard them. In Scripture, to rule and to feed the people is taken as the same thing, which is easy to see in Ezekiel 34, in the second book of Kings 5:2 and in several places of the Psalms, where, according to the original, there is to feed, and we have to rule. And in fact, between ruling and pasturing the sheep with iron crook there is no difference. In Psalm 22, verse I, the Lord ruleth me, I.E. as shepherd governeth me. And when it is said that David had been elected to feed Jacob his servant and Israel his inheritance, and he fed them in the innocence of his psalms, XXVI. 71:72, it is just the same as if he said to rule, to govern, to preside over. And it is after the same figure of speech that the people are called sheep of the pasture of our Lord, Psalms 6:3, so that, to have the commandment of feeding the Christian sheep is no other thing than to be their ruler and pastor. It is now easy to see what authority our Lord entrusted to Saint Peter by these words, feed my sheep. For in truth the charge is so general that it includes all the faithful, whatever may be their condition. The commandment is so particular that it is addressed only to Saint Peter. He who wishes to have this honor of being one of our Lord's sound sheep must acknowledge Saint Peter, or him who takes Peter's place, as his shepherd. If thou lovest me, I quote Saint Bernard de Concid, 2:8. Feed my sheep. Which sheep? The people of this or that city or region or even kingdom. My sheep, Christ says. Is it not clear to everybody that he did not mean some, but handed over all? There is no exception where there is no distinction. And perhaps the others, his fellow disciples, were present when, giving a charge to one, he commended unity to all in one flock with one pastor, according to that cant. 6. One is my dove, my beautiful one, my perfect one. Where unity is, there is perfection. When our Lord said, I know my sheep, he spoke of all. When he said, feed my sheep, he still means it of all, for our Lord has but one fold and one flock. And what else is it to say, feed my sheep, but take care of my flock, of my pastures, or of my sheep and my sheepfold? It is then entirely under the charge of Saint Peter. For if he said to him, feed my sheep, either he recommended all to him or some only. If he only recommended some, which, I ask, were it not to recommend to him none, to recommend to him some only without specifying which, and to put him in charge of unknown sheep? If all, as the word expresses it, then he was the general pastor of the whole church, and the matter is thus rightly settled beyond doubt. It is the common explanation of the ancients, it is the execution of his promises. But there is a mystery in this institution which our Saint Bernard does not allow me to forget. Now that I have taken him as my guide in this point, it is that our Savior thrice charges him to do the office of pastor, saying to him first, feed my lambs, secondly, my lambs, thirdly, my sheep, not only to make this institution more solemn, but to show that he gave into his charge not only the people, but the pastors and apostles themselves, who, as sheep, nourish the lambs and young sheep, and are mothers to them. And it makes nothing against this truth that Saint Paul and the other apostles have fed many peoples with the gospel doctrine, for being all under the charge of Saint Peter, what they have done belongs also to him, as the victory does to the general, though the captains have fought, nor, that Saint Paul received from Saint Peter the right hand of fellowship. Galatians 2:9, for they were companions in preaching, but Saint Peter was greater and chief in the pastoral office, and the chiefs call the soldiers and captains comrades, nor that Saint Paul was the apostle of the Gentiles and Saint Peter of the Jews, because it was not to divide the government of the church, nor to hinder either the one or the other from converting the Gentiles and the Jews indifferently, nor because the chief authority was not in the hands of one, but it was to assign them the quarters where they were principally to labor in preaching, in order that each one attacking impiety in his own province the world might the sooner be filled with the sound of the gospel, nor that he would seem not to have known that the Gentiles were to belong to the fold of our Lord, which was confided to him, for what he said to the good Cornelius, in truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh justice is acceptable to him. Acts 10, is nothing different from what he had said before, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved too, and the prophecy which he had explained, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. 3. He was only uncertain as to the time when the bringing back of the Gentiles was to begin, according to the holy word of the Master, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the uttermost part of the earth. I, and that of Saint Paul, too, you behoved us to speak first the word God, but seeing you reject it, we turn to the Gentiles. 13. Just as our Lord had already opened the mind of the apostles to the intelligence of the Scriptures when he said to them, thus it behoved, that penance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning with Jerusalem. Luke 8, nor that the apostles instituted deacons without the command of Saint Peter, in the Acts of the Apostles 6, for Saint Peter's presence thus sufficiently authorized that act. Besides, we do not deny that the apostles had full powers of administration in the church, under the pastoral authority of Saint Peter, and we bishops, in union with the Holy See of Rome, ordain both deacons and priests without any special authorization, nor that the apostles sent Peter and John into Samaria. Ib. 8, for the people also sent Phinees, who was the high priest, and their superior, to the children of Reuben and Gad. Jos. 22, and the centurion sent the chiefs and heads of the Jews, whom he considered to be greater than himself. Luke 7, and Saint Peter being in the council, himself consented to and authorized his own mission. Nor finally, that which is made so much of at Saint Paul withstood Saint Peter to the face. Galatians 2, for every one knows that it is permitted to the inferior to correct the greater and to admonish him with charity and submission when charity requires, witness our Saint Bernard in his books on consideration. And on this subject the great Saint Gregory in Ich. 2:6 says these all golden words: he became the follower of his inferior, though before him in dignity, so that he who was first in the high dignity of the apostolate might be first in humility. Chapter 6. Answer to the objections made against the visibility of the church. It is a thing very worthy of consideration in this matter that the evangelists never name either all the apostles or a part of them together without putting Saint Peter ever at the very top, ever at the head of the band. This we cannot consider to be done accidentally, for it is perpetually observed by the evangelists, and it is not four or five times that they are thus named together, but very often. And besides, as to the other apostles, they do not keep any particular order. The names of the 12 apostles are these, says Saint Matthew 10, the first, Simon who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James of Alphaeus and Thaddaeus, Simon Chananaeus, and Judas Iscariot. He names Saint Andrew the second, Saint Mark names him the fourth, and to better show that it makes no difference, Saint Luke, who in one place has put him second, in another puts him fourth. Saint Matthew puts Saint John fourth, Saint Mark puts him third, Saint Luke in one place fourth, in another second. Saint Matthew puts Saint James third, Saint Mark puts him second. In short, it is only Saint Philip, Saint James of Alphaeus and Judas who are not sometimes higher, sometimes lower. When the evangelists elsewhere name all the apostles together, there is no principle except as regards Saint Peter, who goes first everywhere. Well now, let us imagine that we were to see in the country, in the streets, in meetings, what we read in the Gospels, and in truth it is more certain than if we had seen it if we saw Saint Peter the first and all the rest grouped together, should we not judge that the others were equals and companions, and Saint Peter the chief and captain? But, besides this, very often when the evangelists talk of the apostolic company they name only Peter, and mention the others as accessory and following, and Simon and who were with him followed after him Mark I. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, Luke 9. You know well that to name one person and put the others all together with him, is to make him the most important and the others his inferiors. Very often again he is named separately from the others, as by the angel, tell his disciples and Peter, Mark 16, but Peter standing up, with the 11, they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Acts 2, Peter then answering and the apostles said, have we not power to lead about a woman, a sister, as well as the rest of the apostles, and the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? I Corinthians 9. What does this mean, to say, tell his disciples and Peter? Peter and the apostles answered, was Peter not an apostle? Either he was less or more than the others, or he was equal. No man, who is not altogether mad, will say he was less. If he is equal and stands on a level with the others, why is he put by himself? If there is nothing particular in him, why is it not just as well to say, tell his disciples and Andrew, or John? Certainly it must be for some particular quality which is in him more than in the others, and because he was not a simple apostle. So that having said, tell his disciples, or, as the rest of the apostles, how can one longer doubt that Saint Peter is more than apostle and disciple? Only once in the scriptures Saint Peter is named after Saint James. James and Cephas and John gave the right hands of fellowship, Galatians 2. But in truth there is too much occasion to doubt whether in the original and anciently Saint Peter was named first or second, to allow any valid conclusion to be drawn from this place alone. For Saint Augustine, Saint Ambrose, Saint Jerome, both in the commentary and in the text, have written Peter, James, John, which they could never have done if they had not found this same order in their copies. Saint Chrysostom has done the same in the commentary. All this shows the diversity of copies, which makes the conclusion doubtful on either side. But even if the copies we now have were originals, one could deduce nothing from this single passage against the order of so many others, for Saint Paul might be keeping to the order of the time in which he received the hand of fellowship, or without concerning himself about the order might have written first the one which came first to his mind. But Saint Matthew shows us clearly what order there was amongst the apostles, that is, that one was first, and the remainder were equal without 2d or 3d. First, says he, Simon who is called Peter, he does not say 2d, Andrew, 3d, James, but goes on simply naming them, to let us know that provided Saint Peter was first, all the rest were in the same rank, and that amongst them there was no precedence. First, says he, Peter, and Andrew. From this is derived the name of primacy. For if he were first primes, his place was first, his rank first, and this quality of his was primacy. It is answered to this that if the evangelists here named Saint Peter the First, it was because he was the most advanced in age amongst the apostles, or on account of some privilege which existed amongst them. But what is the worth of such a reason as this, I should like to know? To say that Saint Peter was the oldest of the society is to seek at hazard an excuse for obstinacy, and the Scripture distinctly tells us he was not the earliest apostle when it testifies that Saint Andrew led him to our Lord. The reasons are seen quite clearly in the Scripture, but because you are resolved to maintain the contrary, you go seeking about with your imagination on every side. Why say that Saint Peter was the oldest, since it is a pure fancy which has no foundation in the Scripture, and is contrary to the ancients? Why not say rather that he was the one on whom Christ founded his church, to whom he had given the keys of the kingdom of heaven, who was the confirmer of the brethren? For all this is in the Scripture. What you want to maintain, you do maintain. Whether it has a base in Scripture or not makes no difference. And as to the other privileges, let anybody go over them to me in order, and none will be found special to Saint Peter but those which make him head of the church.